So, before lunch, we were looking at some how-tos, a sort of a structure for having a quiet time, doing your devotions, reading the Bible on your own. And we'll come to practice that a little bit together in a few minutes' time. And then right at the end, there'll be some chance to ask questions on anything you like from what I've been saying through today. But before we get there, there's something significant that I think it's worth putting out there. You'll see this session is called Our Hearts and Some Practice. So we're going to come to some practice. But let's think about our hearts. I signaled this, I think, at the beginning. I suspect you know this. In growing in godliness and faithfulness and maturity in anything in the Christian life, what we need is a mixture of here are some things to do, but also we need heart change. You know, if we try and grow more godly in a particular area by just saying to ourselves, I'm going to do better, I'm going to obey Jesus in this area, that's not going to produce anything lasting, and we know that. We need to look at our hearts and preach the gospel to our hearts, because as Jesus said, what comes out of our mouths, what comes out in our actions, comes from our hearts. So, just a, not much, but I think what I hope are some helpful things on this. A good guiding verse here, I printed it on the handout, is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Pick this out, because just notice the different categories of people he's talking about. It's not specifically on Bible reading, but the kinds of people he has in mind are interesting. He says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. I just want to think about those three kinds of people. Idle, disheartened, weak. In relation to engaging with God's word for ourselves. Let's say someone says, well, I put there in italics. Let's say someone might say, a Christian might say of themselves, I really struggle to get down to Bible reading for myself. You might know someone who would say that. That might be what you would say of yourself as you come here now. Maybe it's what you said of yourself in the past. Very likely, unless the Lord, you know, remarkably preserves you at some point in the future, it's something you might that might be true of you. Crucial, of course, in knowing what to say to a friend who says that to you, or in knowing, as it were, what to preach to yourself, if you are feeling that. Crucial in that is knowing what the issue behind the issue is. Knowing what the heart issue is. It could be any of those three categories that we see there in 1 Thessalonians 5. It could be a kind of idleness, or a related to that, a kind of lacking discipline. And this actually takes me to my example here would be myself and what I referred to right at the beginning. When way back at the beginning of the day, Ben asked me that excellent question, tell us about a time when you've struggled in this for yourself. And I mentioned during COVID, it wasn't completely debilitating. I was able to sort of keep functioning and keep working, but I found just anxiety was rising. And that was a struggle in various ways. And what that meant was I try and read the Bible in the morning, first thing. That's when that works best for me. And I just got into this habit where I was basically day after day, before picking up the Bible, I was picking up my tablet or my phone, and I was reading the news. I like to read the news. And what was happening was I was just spending longer and longer doing it. And then the time I have before I have to go and have my breakfast and get out of the house, was time for Bible was just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking at times. Because I was just finding it incredibly difficult to put this tablet down. I got it at, many of us all know this, you know, a kind of doom scrolling. Just go, I need to know all the news, I need to know all the news, I need to know what's happening. In some ways related to various kinds of anxiety. But now here's the thing. Ask myself, what is the heart issue behind that issue? I think in the end it was, this is, I think, common with many people. I'm somehow, it could be a series of things. I'm valuing knowing what's in the news so I can sound intelligent in conversations when conversations about current affairs arise. I'm kind of proud, maybe, in this, and I don't want to be someone who, when people are discussing current affairs, I'm standing there going, I don't know what you're talking about. But maybe also, you know that do you know what I mean by the kind of doomstrolling mentality, a sense of, I've woken up in the morning, I need to know, has something catastrophic happened in the world? I can't really begin until I've discovered that. Or I somehow, in some weird way, need to read about the bad things that have happened in the world while I have been asleep. Because if I know about them, I'll feel better about it. Dig behind that. We all know the heart issue that lies behind that, doesn't it? It's basically, do I trust God to run the world, or do I want to sort of try and kind of control and run the world by knowing what's going on? So there was a heart issue. Wake up in the morning. Am I content that while I have been asleep, the Sovereign Lord has been very happily taking care of his world without me? Can I postpone not knowing what's going on in the world and read my Bible first? Does that make some sense? So it's in the end, it was a heart issue thing. It was a kind of practicality thing. It took me, I mean, this would sound incredibly stupid. It took me ages to work it out. My excuse for having my tablet next to me while I was reading the Bible was I needed to know the time, because I do have to be in work by a certain time. So I needed to know when to finish. But there's my tablet. It's a clock, right? Yeah, but it's got the news on it. Calling. So, eventually I worked out, do you know what? If I put that next to me, that doesn't have the news on it. So we're all good. There's nothing that distracts me about this other than it tells the time. See, do you see the point? There will be some practicalities that help me overcome a kind of idleness and lack of discipline, but what is the heart issue? What is the heart issue? But someone else saying, I really struggle to get down reading the Bible for myself, it might be they're just disheartened. They've been knocked back. Maybe they have really, really tried reading the Bible. Some speaker or Christian friend has said to them, you really must read the Word of God. It's wonderful. It's the Word of God. It feeds you. Come on. And they tried, and they really tried, and they feel it didn't really work. And they wonder, is that because I'm the least spiritually minded person in the church? Or am I not very clever? Or what is this? And so they're just disheartened. Why go back and try again at something that you failed at several times? I mean, who does that to themselves? And again, it might be worth asking yourself, if that's you, what might the heart issue be behind that? I can't know. It could be a whole series of other things. I think in some people there can be a sense of, you know, a kind of perfectionism. Unless I can do something to an unbelievably high standard and understand perfectly every Bible passage I read, I'm a bit of a failure. And unless I can have a sense that I am having one of the most superpowered quiet times in my entire church family, it's not really worthwhile. And just being content with, I read a Bible passage, there was loads I didn't understand, but there was a great thought about Jesus that encouraged me. Somehow that doesn't feel good enough for that. Does that make sense? I think that can lead to someone being disheartened, but there could be other things too. It could be that no one's really helped them. No one's really taken the time, just practically, to say, you could try this. I'm really struggling to get down to read the Bible for myself. Might be a kind of idleness, might be disheartened. And in both of those cases, worth asking about the heart issue. But then also, maybe someone is just weak. Here's what I mean by that. I think heart issues are less relevant in what I mean here. This is just simply practicalities. Maybe a Christian is a full-time carer at home for a family member who just demands every minute of their day. Might be a spouse with dementia. It might be a toddler. I once read the stats on the number of times a 2-year-old demands something of a parent in a day. I think it was into the hundreds. I remember when, we've only got one child, but I remember when our child was born, you know, not having had kids before, secretly thinking of people who have kids and young children and say how hard it is, thinking, it can't be that difficult, come on, get over yourselves. And then you reach the point where you think you're doing incredibly well if you dress by lunchtime. There's just a kind of, as it, do you see what I mean, kind of weakness in their life. Why are they struggling? Because they're shattered the whole time. Because they struggle to get 60 seconds for themselves in the entire day. No wonder you're struggling. So maybe 60 seconds is a brilliant thing to go for. Or maybe within a church family, someone can help out and come and provide a little respite so you can spend a little time in God's word, or whatever it is. So if you're saying to yourself, or hear someone else, I really struggle to get down to reading the Bible for myself, I'd commend those to you, to helpful to self-diagnosis, if you like. What really is the issue? And is there a heart issue behind the issue that I need to get into? I'm just going to leave a moment of quiet, just so we can just maybe just pray for a moment for ourselves. And if something in that has resonated with you, just before we move on from it, maybe just seek the Lord's help or before him resolve what you might try and do or what help you might try and ask for. Let's just pray the quiet for ourselves. So just two more things to do. We're just going to have a little practice around the kinds of things I've been talking about. And then there'll be, before we close, some time for questions. So there you go. Yes, if you open up the handout, here's this little pattern. Pray, read the passage, think about it. Choose something that shines out for you, something that applies to you. Maybe something you don't understand. There's my little flowery M for meditate. And now turn that into prayer. Here's the passage you're going to practice on. It's actually the passage I'm, God willing, preaching on tomorrow in church. So get a bit of a double go at it. I hope you find that helpful. As opposed to thinking, well, I've done Genesis 13 now, not much point coming tomorrow. That's probably not a good plan. So it's Genesis chapter 13. If you find it helpful to follow in front of you, you can open that up now. Genesis chapter 13. Just one word on the context. I think you've been in a series, haven't you, in these chapters in Genesis, so those who've been in church the last couple of weeks might remember. This is just coming straight after a time when Abraham's faithfulness has taken a little bit of a nosedive. He doesn't do so well towards the end of chapter 12. Little clue, he does rather better here in chapter 13. So I'm just going to read this chapter, and then what I'm just going to ask you to do, when I've done, just have a few minutes, just have a little go, either on your own or talking out loud with others if you wish. Just fairly quickly pull out a light bulb and an arrow, something that shines out for you, something that applies to you. Don't worry about the stuff you don't understand for now. And then just pull that out fairly quickly and then just have a go at kind of meditating on it, chewing it, rolling it around in your mind and heart. In some of those ways we were talking about. Does that make sense? Great. So, Genesis 13. So, Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had. And Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarrelling arose between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarrelling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. Okay, so about 15 minutes. Just pick out something that jumps out at you, light bulb, shines out. Think about how that might apply, and then chew on that in ways that draw out the nourishment for yourself and apply it deeply into your own heart, at least to begin that.